We are joined by a PGA Tour golfer, number six in the FedEx Cup rankings, winner of the Memorial last weekend. He shot a final round 64, the lowest final round by a Memorial champ ever, having a huge year, eight top tens, a Jack Nicklaus Award winner at UCLA. Of course, the U.S. Open starts on Thursday at Pebble Beach. Patrick Cantlay is my guest. Patrick, really good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Great to have you, Patrick. So listen, I know you're focused on the U.S. Open already, but if you could, can you take me back to last weekend? Any win on the PGA Tour is special, but knowing your history with Jack Nicklaus, how special was that win at the Memorial?
Yeah, just it feels like it started such a long time ago, winning the Nicklaus Award back in 2011 after my freshman year at UCLA. So going to the golf course and seeing him there and accepting the award, you know, almost 8 years ago, it's a little surprising. Or it would have surprised me then to say, you know, by 2019, you would have only played the tournament three times. So, you know, knowing him for all these years and being able to play the way I did, you know, in front of him and win the tournament with him on 18 and being able to shake his hand after playing one of the best rounds of golf I've ever played, it was extremely special.
See, the thing is, Patrick, you didn't just shake his hands. When you were coming off 18, he actually gave you a hug. And as we talked about, you were the winner of the Jack Nicklaus Award when you were in college. Jack said that he regards you and the other winners of that award as, quote, in many ways, my children, end quote. He also said that you kind of remind me of me. What does it mean to you that he's got that level of care for you, that kind of respect for you?
Yeah, I mean, it means so much. It's hard to put into words. You know, he's in my opinion, the greatest to ever play the game. And his record, when you look at the numbers, is absolutely incredible. He's helped me over the last few years, and I've picked his brain. And I'm a member at his golf course down in Florida, the Bears Club in Jupiter. And he just has been there for me whenever I've needed any advice or any little tidbit of help. And I'm definitely grateful for all the stuff that he's helped me with. And, you know, I showed up at Memorial last week, and I said hi to him, and I was with a couple other guys. We had just flown in, and I was having dinner at the club, and he came by, and I said, you know, hi, Mr. Nicklaus, how's it going? He goes, hi, Patrick. And then straight right away, he goes, you know, you got to figure out how to play those last 30 minutes. He goes, you got to learn how to finish the golf tournament. You've been playing good, but you got to learn how to win. So he kind of gave me a little kick in the butt, you know, right when I showed up on Monday. And, you know, given that and given our relationship, it was really cool to finish it off the way I did.
I love that. Patrick Cantlay joining us. That's a great story. So if we go back to November, you had been stacking top 10 finishes. I mean, put aside that conversation you had with Jack, did you know that a win was coming, or do you not really ever know that until it happens?
It definitely feels like I felt like I'd been building momentum for a long time. And I kind of remarked to my caddy on Sunday at Memorial on the front nine, when Martin Kaymer was making all those birdies, and it felt like no matter how many birdies I made, I wasn't going to catch him. I kind of turned to my caddy and go, you know, Matt, it feels like we've had this Sunday. It's like Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Like we just keep having the same darn Sunday over and over and over again, where we're up near the lead, but we're not quite in the lead. And, you know, I think having that experience every week and having it feel more comfortable and having it feel more like watching TV on your couch, you know, Sunday in contention, it definitely helps and made me be able to relax and feel more comfortable because I've been in that position so many times this year.
So, Patrick, people who are familiar with your story know that you grew up playing in Long Beach. When did you first get into golf, and what was it about the game that hooked you?
Well, it's kind of funny. You know, I can never remember a time where I didn't play golf. So both sides of my family grew up playing golf. And, you know, I played a lot of golf when I was really young with my grandfather and with my dad. And they're both good players. So I just kind of always had played the game. And then about, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth grade, I realized I was getting worse at all the other sports compared to all the other kids. You know, I played baseball and basketball. I realized I was getting worse at that, but I was getting better at everybody in golf. So I decided to just stick with only golf once I got to high school.
Well, that's true. You were getting better. Patrick Cantlay, my guest, you were getting better at golf than everybody. In fact, when you went to UCLA, you were the best golfer in the country. You shot a 60 at the Travelers as an amateur. You turned pro in 2012. You're leading the Web.com money list in 2013. But then you show up at the Fort Worth Invitational one day. You're warming up. You feel a pain in your back. How bad was that pain, and what did you think at that time?
Yeah, I'd been on a stretch of playing a lot of golf, and I had been playing decent, and I was warming up, and it just, there was like a couple swings, and one swing in particular, it felt like, you know, somebody put a knife in my back, just straight to my knees, and I didn't know at the time. I knew it was serious. I actually tried to play that day. I played nine holes before I withdrew, and I knew it was serious, but I didn't know it was as serious as it was. I actually broke a bone in my back. It was a stress fracture, and those couple swings were the last straws that broke the camel's back, you know, to have a cliche saying. But it was bad, and it took me a long, long time to recover and to feel like myself again.
You know, I wonder about that, Patrick, because anybody can attest to this who's had back pain. It can be all-consuming. And it's the only thing you think about and feel, whether you're golfing or not. I mean, you're thinking about your back. You're in such pain. What was that time like? And did you ever think that it might be over before you even got a chance to play your best golf?
You know, it's funny, but when it first happened, I thought, you know, I'll be good in 2 weeks. You know, I'll be just give me a week to rest, and I'll be ready, and I'll be back at it. And that was kind of the young aspirational golfer side of me. You know, the nothing bad had ever happened to me side of me, thinking, you know, oh, it's just a minor setback. I'll be back in, you know, at most a month. But you are right. And anybody who has had back pain knows it affects everything you do. You don't feel like you can do anything like you used to, even something you take for granted, like sleeping or watching TV on the couch. And it definitely took an approach, an all-encompassing approach, where I didn't really sit for very often or very long periods of time. I still do and learn to just watch TV laying on the floor because it's better for my back, and I feel better that way. And it took a lot more than I thought it would to overcome that injury. And I actually feel like I'm in a better spot today because I went through that injury, and I have the right protocols and the right team in place to make sure that I'm feeling as good as I possibly can all the time.
Patrick Cantlay joining us, coming off a big win at the Memorial. You know, Patrick, I want to be very respectful how I ask you about this. And truthfully, I wasn't sure that I would, but you just said something that was interesting, that this notion that nothing bad had ever happened to me, and then one of the worst things ever that could happen to anybody happened in 2016 when your friend and your caddy, Chris Roth, was killed by a hit-and-run driver in Newport Beach. I can't begin to imagine how painful that must have been for you and everybody close. It was clear how close the two of you were. For those who did not know him, what was Chris like as a person?
He was just an extremely loyal, fun-loving guy. He was the type of guy you'd want to be around in any situation that you were in, whether it be a work situation like us on the golf course, or, you know, a time where you're feeling down. He was the best guy to have around, or if you were out having a party and you know, enjoying time with friends, he was always, just such a great energy to be around that you could feed off of. And it felt like whenever he was around, you know, everyone was having an even better time. And so he was just a quality person through and through, and somebody I feel very lucky to have spent so much time with and shared so many, really monumental experiences for me. You know, when I first came out and started, like when you said, when I shot 60 at Travelers and was playing so well in college, he was on the bag for me. So it was just such a great time, and we were doing so many cool things together, and I'll definitely cherish those moments forever.
Some really nice thoughts. You know, I've got to ask you then, when you're dealing with a devastating back injury and then you deal with a horrific tragedy, you know, as a young person trying to find his way, how did you find the strength and the focus to keep going and come out the other end?
It's a good question. And I'll try and give you the best honest answer I can. You know, after going through all that, it was the most devastating two events. One, Chris's death being way bigger than the golf side of it. You know, I knew I could always do something in the business world, or I could change my focus from golf. But that his death was so devastating for me that, you know, that was by far and away larger. But coupling the two together and having them happen at similar times, right when he died, I had the doctor said, you know, you got to take a year off from golf. So I couldn't even play golf for, you know, 10 months after the accident happened. And that time was so difficult for me that it really felt as though absolutely nothing mattered. It felt like the worst possible thing could happen or the best possible thing could happen, and I would still be at the lowest possible low. And the only really way I felt like I overcame that was having time to kind of let the wounds heal and to help me get some space between it so I could summon up the courage and the emotional effort it took to like pick up the pieces of me and like keep going. It got to be a point maybe 6 or 9 months down the road when I knew I could start to hit some golf balls again. And I knew that was on the horizon where I came home one day and I got really, really upset and almost angry. And I don't have a lot of emotion, but I got pretty angry just with myself. And I said, you know, I have to figure out a way to get everything back. And I have to figure out a way to figure this out. And I just got so angry that I decided I'm not going to let anything get in my way. And I'm going to take it one day at a time. And I'm going to wake up at the beginning of the day and decide today I'm going to do everything I possibly can. And I just strung together day after day after day of that. And, after a while I saw that I made progress, and that helped me, like helped me get some momentum. And I've been trying to still ride that wave, to this day.
My man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate and respect that response. Patrick Cantlay, PGA Tour golfer, sixth in the FedEx Cup rankings. He won the Memorial last weekend, and it's another big week. The U.S. Open starts Thursday at Pebble Beach. Patrick, I know that's not an easy conversation to have. Again, I really appreciate you. I really respect that very much. And thanks so much for taking time. Congrats on the win. Good luck this week.
Thanks very much. Going to go up to U.S. Open this week, and should be a great one up at Pebble. I think it's the best U.S. Open venue, so it should be good TV, and I'm definitely going to enjoy being up there.
Good for you. Let's talk again soon. I appreciate it.
Right, thanks, Jim.
Patrick Cantlay. That's a tremendous conversation. He has been through so much. I love that last response in dealing with the adversity and dealing with what he's had to deal with and the way he found a way to dig deep and bounce back one day at a time. Like win that day, win the next day, win the day after that, string them together, get some momentum. And then all of a sudden you see progress and it gives you more motivation. And he said, I'm still riding that wave. That's a great win for him. Something I did not get into when he first started playing. When he was in high school, he went to Servite here in Southern California. In his first varsity match at Western Hills Country Club, he broke the course record and shot 31 on the front nine. And he was always a sponge for the game. I love that explanation, too, that I was getting worse at every other sport than everybody around me, but I was getting better than everybody else at golf. Patrick Cantlay. Good dude. And the U.S. Open does start Thursday at Pebble Beach, and he says that's the best track for it.